going to change Jesus. Jesus is going to change him. But it just keeps going on, doesn't it, brother? Praise the Lord. What I can learn from a mom. Things mom teach us. Mothers teach us about foresight. Make sure you wear your clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Mothers teach us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come running to me. Mothers teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Mothers teach us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Mothers teach us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Mothers teach us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mothers teach us about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? Mothers teach us about perseverance. You're going to sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Mothers teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. Mothers teach us about weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. Mothers teach us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Praise the Lord. I tell you, mothers teach us a lot, don't they? One of the tasks of the mothers has been teaching. That's one of their things they do. They teach us, don't they? When we're young, very few, if any, hold as much influence over children as a mom. That is why when the football player waves to the camera, he says, "Hi, Mom!" Right? You ever seen that? See, Dad may have taught him to play football, but Mom is really the big number. That is why when an airliner is going down, the little black box records the last words of the pilot as, "Mom, I love you." When 9-1-1 happened, you know, a lot of the recordings were back to Mom's, "Mom, I love you." And I remember one time when we was growing up, Dad told a story when he was in World War II, and World War II vets really never ever talked much about the war anyway, but when he did, he said that he remembers a lot of times guys dying in the foxholes or going to die or seriously wounded, he said they would always cry out, "Mommy." Isn't that amazing? Moms are important. There's something about a mom that will never leave you, whether you're a man or a woman. Our ladies are, excuse me, I saw my mom last week. She doesn't know who I am anymore. It's tough. It's tough. Through the good and the bad, you know, growing up. You have your bad times, you have your good times. But she's still mom. And it's tough. So never take, especially younger people, never take your moms for granted. They may not be perfect. They may not do things right. They may have messed everything up. But I tell you what, don't take them for granted. Because the scriptures teach us to honor our fathers and mothers. Even if we don't like what they have done or said or didn't do or did do or whatever, we have a responsibility before God to honor our parents, our moms, I'll talk about today. And we have to remember that, amen? And sometimes you may have to say, "I forgive my mom." Maybe your mom's not even living today, but she wasn't a perfect mom. And maybe she hurt you or said things that really wounded you deeply. But you still need to say, "Lord, I forgive my mother." We do, don't we? She may not hear it or whatever, but you need to obey God. And even if you don't feel it, you can still say, "Mom, I forgive you." Because because you did what God told you to do. Our Heavenly Father told us what to do to bring peace into our own hearts and healing within our own hearts, and that's what we do. Our ladies are seemingly always on the front lines of family, giving unselfishly that their families may have it. There's nothing like a mother's touch when your child is sick. I remember being sick as a young child, and there was something about mom putting her hand on your forehead or coming in and soothing you. And how many relate with that? There's something about dad, you know, a gruff guy comes in there, you know, and it didn't do a whole lot. I remember when Amy was sick, when I took care of her in the evenings, when my wife had to work and everything too, and she'd get sick and she'd vomit and stuff, and she'd have her head over by the toilet, and I'd come in there and says, "Oh man, I gotta get out of here." Or when she'd doo-doo in her pants or something, you know, and I had a horrible time with that too. But when mom was around, Amy felt secure. She felt loved. She felt, here's somebody that understands. A mother's touch, there's nothing like it. Amen. Don't tell any more of the stories, amen. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and 20 through 23 says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the one on the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup I drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." See, this morning we read scripture which is frequently used to illustrate seemingly negative things, and rightly so. See, the Lord teaches against selfishness. He teaches against pride and self-exaltation, doesn't he? This is a story of a mom trying to weasel her boys into the best seats in the house in the kingdom. I simply say the kingdom because it seems to me that this mom didn't perceive that Jesus' kingdom would be in heaven, but still thought he was going to overthrow the Roman rule. Now let's consider five lessons we can learn from Salome, the mother of James and John. From her, let's learn from how to's and what to's. The first one would be the approach to Jesus. There's several lessons we can see in this. First, she obviously knew that to get the best life had to offer, that Jesus was the one, so she made it a point to come to him. What a great start right there, huh? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. For years, the picture of mom was sung in the old song, "If I Could Only Hear My Mother Pray Again," which is one of the greatest pictures of a child. I went on the internet, and I got to read that couple verses from that because I pulled it off there. It says, "How sweet and happy seem those days of which I dream, when memory recalls them now and then, and with that rapture sweet, my weary heart would best if I could hear my mother pray again." She used to pray that I on Jesus would rely and always walk the shining gospel way. So trusting still his love, I seek that home above where I shall meet my mother some glad day. If I could only hear my mother pray again, if I could only hear her tender voice, as then how happy I would be. 'Twould mean so much to me if I could hear my mother pray again. There's a lot of regrets in life, isn't there? And we look back, if I could only, if I could only, if I could only. That's why it's so important to come to Jesus. And he heals and he soothes that pain and that ache that maybe we missed. And he can renew. Even when things seem that's too late, it's never too late for Jesus. Amen? You know, one thing I always like to think about our Heavenly Father, too, is that when we talk about mothers, you know, who created mothers? Yeah, our Lord. He put his character within mothers. That's why a father has a motherly touch. He knows how to soothe and to bring healing and peace in a heart and calmness. And he put that upon mothers. He put a special touch upon a mother that a man can't compare with. Well, dads have the ultimate responsibility for teaching and training the children about spiritual things. Mom's influence is immeasurable. Did you hear that, men? It's our responsibility to be the leaders in the home spiritually, not the moms. It's the men. We're to set the example. We're to be the priests of the home. But mom's influence has got a lot of power. I know I'm married to a mom. And she said today, remember, we want to go and eat this noon for lunch. She kind of said that. She did, but in a different way. I changed it around to fit my liking here. She teaches us to approach Jesus with both our needs and our desires. Next, she brought her children to the feet of Jesus. Perhaps one of the outstanding positive lessons we can learn from such a questionable story is the importance of having our offspring with us when we approach Jesus. You know, that's why I always preach, I think it's really good to bring children to church with mommy and daddy. I'm always going to believe that we should be doing that, especially in the society we have today, but yet we separate the children. Children need to see mommy on her knees praying. That's how they learn. That's how they learn. If you're grandma in here, children, grandchildren need to see grandma on her knees praying to Jesus. You don't know what kind of an influence that has upon a young heart and a young mind. And even if your children are grown and you've come to Jesus at later in life, you still need to be on your knees before Jesus. And think about this, her kids were growing. Whether or not her motives were pure matters little for what we can learn from her. She brings herself, her kids, and her request to Jesus. The Bible tells us to bring our needs and our families and even our wants to Jesus. The message of Jesus is always this, and I love this. It's come to me. Bring it to me. That's Jesus. Anything in life, Jesus has come to me. Bring your hurts. Bring your joys. Bring your heartache. Bring whatever. Bring your despair of life. Bring your depression. Bring your fear. Bring your family. Bring your needs of every sort and every type. Bring them to Jesus. See, that's what a mom who loves her children will do, to come to Jesus and bring them with her to Jesus. Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls." What an awesome scripture. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you're burdened today, moms, and you're sitting here and you say, I don't know if I can go on, here's the scripture for you right here. You can go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, here it is." Mothers teach us all kinds of lessons, but one of the greatest is to bring all of our cares to Jesus. Bring them all to Jesus. Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Praise the Lord! Amen. We're going to be solid when we're in Jesus. This mother brought her sons to Jesus the right way. Number two, the attitude toward Jesus. It is very interesting to watch children discover that they carry the attitude of their parents. Did you know that? The problem is today a lot of children think that they run the households, and it's got flipped upside down, and parents are scared to discipline children. They're scared to tell children no, because children kind of control things, don't they, in a lot of homes today. I'm one of those guys, I never got fearful doing that. Never got fearful doing that, ever. Because it's not the children, it's the mom that God put in place. If a parent carries prideful, arrogant, or negative attitude, the kids will pick up on that and, as general, will project the same attitude as their parents. I also notice that even in business, even with workers, a manager, if you got a bad manager, a bad leader in a business, and he's got a bad attitude, the employees many times follow suit. It usually reflects who the manager is. That's why if you're a Christian leader, manager, owner of a business, you set the example many times in your attitude. Your employees will follow that example. They will. I've learned that. I've done that even in business. I had one guy that started a job one time, and I told him, I said, if you become, to keep your eyes on those guys, you'll become just like them. In 6 months, he became identical to them. Started swearing, smoking, and everything else. And that's the same thing that happens within the home. The King James Version says, she came worshiping him. See the attitude toward Jesus? She came worshiping him. Candidly, for all that we may see that she did wrong, she taught her adult boys how to show respect to the Lord. She showed them because she came worshiping. See, the word worship literally means to kiss or to lick the hand when you look it up. That's what it means. She came to Jesus that way, to prostrate oneself in homage to Jesus. What respect to come to Jesus, amen? That's how she approached it with her two growing sons. This is far different display of attitude that seems the norm today. Somehow the respect for Jesus seems to be almost lost even amongst believers today. Do we truly feel the need to kneel before him? Do we present an attitude of ultimate respect or treat him like one of us? And we see that today. And I tell you what, if you have young children and you're raising them too, you need to come to Jesus. And when you talk about Jesus, Jesus is above us. He's not equal with us. He's above us, and I respect him and I fear him. And we need to teach our children to fear God. Because when we fear God reverently, we are going to have more tendencies to live the way he wants us to live. Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? See, this mother showed the right attitude in coming to Jesus in worship. She reverenced him. Number three, the appeal for Jesus. Verse 21 gives us several visuals which we need to take to heart. Notice that when she comes to Jesus in the right way and in the right attitude, he asks her, what do you want? Think about how wonderful this Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the sacrifice for our sins, he's concerned what this woman wants. He says, what do you want? This is amazing to express that Jesus was truly interested in what this mom wanted. Moms, Jesus cares what you want. He cares. He truly cares. If you have a need in your heart, emotional, physically, mentally, whatever, spiritually, whatever need you have, moms, Jesus wants you to know what that is. He wants to know. Here's the point. He didn't have to ask her because in his divinity he knew what their request would be, yet he asked. It says in Matthew 6:8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things ye have need of before you ask. You see, even though he knows in advance, he already knows our needs, isn't there something, doesn't that put your faith into action when you go before him, before his worshiping him with a right attitude and the right way, and you look to the Father and say, Father, I need this in my life right now. Even though he knows it, it activates your faith. It gives you a point of contact when you come to Jesus. That's why we do it. God knows. He knows everything. He's the author of our life. He knows the beginning all the way to the end, to the moment of our death. He knows it, but he wants moms. I'm going to focus on moms. He wants moms to come before his feet and say, what do you need? And you tell him what you need. And his heart is wide open. And he knows how to answer it. He's got the ability. He's got the power. He's got the knowledge. He's got the wisdom. And he knows how to take care of moms through life. Amen? What a great reminder that when we come to Jesus, he's interested in our needs, he's interested in our wants, our desires, and additionally, he wants us to tell him whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. Did you hear that? He's not going to beat you if you didn't do something right. He's not waiting to do that to tear you apart. He wants to bring healing. When you and I don't do something right, Jesus wants to direct and correct our lives in order that we live a better life and to be examples to those around us and to your children. And he can do that when you come to him and you can say, Lord, I really blew this thing in my life. I don't believe Jesus is going to sit there with a big 5-pound sledge ready to beat you over the head. I believe he wants to sincerely help you to understand in order for you to go through life. For this mom, perhaps she was attempting to get her boys a leg up, or maybe she was attempting to make sure they would be taken care of after she and dad were gone. But don't miss this. She was honest with the Lord Jesus. She was honest with him. See, God desires for us to be transparent with him. Sad to say that in my life, and I'm talking about my life right now, there have been times when I've gone to the Lord in prayer and then was less than honest about what I wanted or what was on my heart. You know, I really wanted that 59 Chevy Pontiac, or excuse me, 59 Star Chief Pontiac, four-door hardtop. And I said, Lord, don't let the rapture happen before I get that car. Because I know you want me to have a good time driving this car before the rapture happens. That's a pretty weak example, but I tell you, that's the truth, how silly you are when you first get saved, especially. And I can remember a lot of other silly things when I look back on them. I thought, how foolish to do those things. But see, I bet Jesus, I don't know if he laughed, he said, what a character, I got a lot of work to do here. But what I discovered is that when I attempt to fool God, I'm really just fooling myself. Amen? We can't fool God. He already knows. We try it sometimes, but he already knows. He knows the intent of the heart and the desires and everything within the depth of our very being. And we come to him, we aren't going to deceive him or think we're hiding something from one bit like we can from each other's. It's not going to happen. Even at Judgment Day, when mothers stand there, there'll be no hiding. There'll be no trying to get away with this or to get away with that or saying it's this person or that person or whatever. That's why, this is how, this is that. It's not going to happen. We're going to stand before him, and he's going to read the intent of the heart. That's why it's good to practice now being transparent with Jesus, isn't it? James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. See, when I attempt to hide from God, I'm really hiding from myself. And on the other side of the equation, when I come clean with God, then I'm honest with myself, and it is at this point that God can speak to me and work in my life in a very real way. See, when you and I come with a pure motive before our Heavenly Father, moms, that's when God can actually start to move within your circumstance of life. And not look for justifications and different things, but just come and just be right out honest with the Lord, and he can begin to move. Amen? Praise the Lord. This mother's appeal was transparent with the Lord. Number four, the awareness about Jesus. When Jesus speaks in verse 22, mom is silenced. Why? Could it be that maybe for the first time she realized the seriousness of her boys walking with Jesus? She got quiet. She's not talking anymore in this verse. Maybe for the first time she caught on to the cost. As she was looking into the eyes of the Lord and heard that those seats required the ultimate commitment. Perhaps when she heard his words, she wished she could take her request back. See, today we're being taught to follow Jesus is to get the good life. But this mother stood before the God of the universe, the Word. And when she made that request, she was looking into the very eyes of Jesus himself, her creator, and look within him. And my guess, she saw that fire. She saw that compassion and that love and that desire for those two sons in Jesus. But see, I believe that, I don't know, this is Lynn theory, Bob theory, Terry theory, that when Jesus stood there, he portrayed to her that you don't know what you're asking. You don't even have the knowledge to begin to know what you're asking for me to do for your sons. She stood before him and gazed into his eyes because she became silent. Acts 12:2 is very interesting because this is her first son. And he killed, speaking of Herod, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. See, when mom stood before Jesus making that request at that point, she may have not realized that there's going to be an ultimate sacrifice for my sons to have a seat and to follow that Lord. I don't know if he told her at that point, this is what your sons are going to experience if they're going to sit at right at my right or my left, or they're going to follow me. I heard a preacher one time say that when they came out of the boat with Jesus, with the disciples, they said, Master, Master, we want to follow you. And Jesus looked at him and says, follow me. I'll give you the good life. I said to that preacher, I said, I don't believe Jesus said that. I believe he looked at the disciples and said, if you follow me, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be tortured. You're going to die for my sake in matters that are not too exciting. And there's going to be hardships. There's going to be times when you're going to be naked and poor and you're going to have nothing because you preach my word and you preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's why I came. And if you follow me and you want to be like me, you are going to have those things happen. That's what I said back to him. Truly, I did, and he got mad at me. But you know something? Mom here, I believe, saw that. John, I believe, died peacefully of old age on the island of Patmos. But you know something? I was reading some things that happened to him through his life, too, on other summaries. And one of the things that happened to him, he was boiled in oil at one time, too. Some of them were filleted, their skin off their bodies. I mean, they went through horrendous things, some of the followers of Jesus back then. This mother became silent and she started to think, what did I ask for my sons? Think about this conversation. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking and how difficult this journey will be, Mom. And Mom went silent. When I close my eyes and see this picture, I see a mom who was attempting to get the cushy jobs for her boys and found herself in amazement at what she had done. Perhaps when Jesus turned to the boys and asked them, are you up for this job? She had already changed her mind because for the first time she became aware of who Jesus was and what it was that he required of them. I wonder how many times people think they know what it means to follow Jesus, and then through God's word and the Holy Spirit, they become aware what they thought was not entirely accurate. We really got to take the things of God seriously, don't we, brothers and sisters? Following Jesus is exciting, but it's hard. And I tell you what, when we bring our children before Jesus, we need to count the cost. My wife and I said many times, sometimes it's almost scary when you win people to Jesus because you know what they got to go through. Amen? Because Jesus is chipping away. Chewing, 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 chewing. Hardships of life. Experiences of life. Death. Separation from loved ones. All kinds of heartaches. But there's also many, many joys and excitements. And there's a promise of eternal life that's in there, that's worth it all when it's all said and done. But until we get there, Jesus said, when you follow me, you better count the cost. And that's when many people turned away and quit following him. They couldn't take it anymore. And I tell you what, moms, if you decide to be a mother for Jesus, you're going to have a devil that's going to rise up and try to tear you back down. He's going to try to make you turn away because you don't want little Johnny and Susie to be offended. Offend them! Because in the long term, it's going to be worth it. The long term, it's going to be worth it. And I never enjoyed spanking this kid. but I did, because I knew long term if I didn't, I was disobeying God. And when she was rebellious, I knew how to knock it out of her. Now, I didn't use a big pole, so don't go reporting me. But you remember, don't you? And you know, worse than a strap is when a dad will say, when you get out to the car, you're going to get spanked. And you know something, when you get out to the car, what happened? Because dad don't lie to me. See, kids need that direction. They may say they don't, but in reality they do. That's what they're crying out for. And that's why if mom isn't doing her job in the home or doing what she's supposed to do, they're going somewhere else to get direction. And they go astray. This mom brought her sons to Jesus. Even though she saw now the hardships and the things that may happen to her son, she still said, here's my sons, Jesus. Because eternally she gets to see her sons again. See, Matthew chapter 10, 38 and 39 says, and he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Some people think that following Jesus is only about a one-time decision, and that is made left at the altar. It's one time. Well, I gave my life to Jesus. And they think that's it. Now I can go live any way I want because I did my thing at the altar. I hear a lot of that. It's unbelievable. I talked to a guy one time in Bloomington. He was a customer, and we got on the subject of the things of the Lord, and I asked him a question. Would you like to hear this? Because he believed in eternal security. And he told me right out, he said, I gave my life to Jesus at an altar, so he says, my sins are forgiven for the rest of my life. I can live anywhere I want. And when you listen to the guy, that's what he was following through on too. Profanity and everything that came out of his mouth. And I said, how can you talk like that and profess the name of Jesus? And he says, because my sins are forgiven. I said, no, Jesus said those who practice those sins shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I named those off. And I said, you need to question what kind of commitment you made to Jesus. Because the Jesus of the Bible says sin will not enter heaven. See what we're trying to teach our children, moms? Why it's important to be a godly mother and not to compromise in any area of life, but to be a woman of the Word? That's what this mom was finding out here. To become aware of what is actually required of one who follows Jesus can range from surprise to shock when you think about it. You know, many times people will come to an altar and they say, yeah, I'll give my life to Jesus, and they smile and they walk away. They don't realize what they just had done if they meant it. I mean, just think about moms around the world today who are being tortured and killed for the cause of Christ for their children too. But they don't reject, they do not renounce Jesus because they love Jesus and they want to be an example to that child. Whoever lives a life of self-gratification will lose his or her life. Whoever puts to death the sinful deeds of the body will gain his or her life. Amen? See, this mother came to the realization what it might cost to follow Jesus. And then finally, the acceptance of Jesus. As we read in verse 23 and get the divine design for the kingdom, we notice one important thing. You don't read where mom tried to argue, to discuss, or try to debate with the Lord Jesus. She accepted his words as truth. What a legacy. Amen? Psalms 91:4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Whose truth? That's where we need to be, under the wings of our Lord. We need to be under the wings of our Lord. To have a face-to-face with the Lord of glory is to walk away a changed person. I believe this woman walked away a changed person. See, while the scripture doesn't track in details the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John, this lady known as Salome, we do see her at the tomb of Jesus. For For me, this is conclusive that her encounter with Jesus led her to the acceptance of Jesus. It took a lot to be at that tomb back then, I could imagine. Of all a mother can do, giving her life totally and then completely to our Lord Christ will have the greatest impact on her children, and here's why. A mom sold out to the Lord Jesus is a mom who will display a life that demonstrates everything good and right. Because of this, she will instill in her children a need to love the Lord, to walk in His way, and to fulfill His calling. The mother accepted Jesus' words as truth. See, the results will be kids who seek to discover this Jesus who mom loves and serves so well, find their purpose in life, and who make good decisions. We need more children that will come to Jesus that way, with the word of God being preached and lived before them through a righteous mom. Amen? See, mom, if you're here today and you say, I would sure like another opportunity to be an example to my children, you do. You do have that. Jesus will always give you that chance. Maybe you're here today and you lost your child or children. Then you still have an opportunity to be an example to other children. Amen? God never wastes a life. He never wastes a mom. There's something in a mom that only a mom can do that a dad can't even get close to. That's why dads need to love the mom, to show the children how important mom is. And today we got too many dads don't want to love mom. And so the children grow up and they become like dad. And their homes become like dad sometimes. But you want to know something? God loves moms. Let's all stand, please. I'm just going to make a short request here, and then I'm going to have Sister Lydia come up here and pray for moms. But I want to ask, is there any, with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask, is there moms in here that just say to the Lord with an upraised hand, Jesus, give me another chance. Give me another chance. I want to be like you. I want to change the way I live in my home. I want to be a godly mother. Just put your hand up. See, the Holy Ghost is already speaking to some moms here, and some of you are being reluctant, but you know, there's one more mom that needs to put her hand up. There's one more. Thank you. We see the hands. Jesus, most importantly, sees the hand, and when you lifted your hand, you become transparent to Him, and Jesus, so what do you want? So Lydia, would you come up and pray right now the prayer as these mothers that had their hands up and other mothers today, and just lead them in a word. Yes, yes.
You are so important to your families and to God. And you know, even if you're not a mom, you're an example to nieces, nephews, whatever. So just remember. And again, I wanted to just point out that, you know, our price is above rubies. We're valuable to God. And we can do what nobody else can do. So is everybody up? Come on, girls. Come on up. Yeah, everybody. Yes. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us. Thank you that you value us and that you help us to be the women that you want us to be. Lord, we pray that you will bless each woman and girl here and help us to be the example to those that we come in contact with, Lord. We just love you so much and we appreciate you so much, and we thank you that you love us, you accept us as we are and where we are. So today, Lord, bless everyone. Bless the women in our lives, Lord, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, Haley's going to pass out flowers to all of you. Yay!
Let me just pray a dismissal prayer, and then we'll do that after. I just want every child that's here this morning, child that's here with your mom today, or grandma, whichever, doesn't make any difference. I want you to say, Mom, I love you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you again for this day, Lord, this time together as the family of God. And Lord, I would pray that the Holy Ghost would move upon the people in this body, Lord. You've raised up Crossfire in the end times, the latter day, Father, before Jesus sounds the trumpet. And Lord, I pray you put a fire in our hearts. I pray you help us to become evangelistic in our spirit, Lord. I pray, Lord, even as we hand out tracts today, we take tracts and we give them to the lost, Father, that we're fulfilling your desire to reach a life. Maybe we'll reach a mom today, leaving a tract somewhere today, Father, that needs Jesus. And Father, we just ask right now that you anoint each one of us to be a church on fire, a church that loves Jesus, a church that loves your word, and a church that will go forth and live in obedience to your word with your help, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.